Are we addicted to convenience? Welcome, everybody. We are here with another One Great Work Warrior roundtable discussion, and that is going to be the topic, and I hope this is an interesting topic. It's going to get you thinking, because it certainly got me thinking about it over the last month when you start thinking about convenience and how addicted we are, and can we maybe turn it around and maybe lose some of the addictions that we have to this convenience? So that is our discussion. Welcome back, everybody. And I want to turn it over to Brandon. You can kick this off, because this was your topic, and I want you to kick this off and get us started.
Thank you, Rick, for the intro. And this was a topic that just came to mind, kind of marinated for months and months, and I finally brought it to the table. So, of course, as always, let's look at the etymology of the word convenience. Just means to come together, you know, what we find is suitable, or, you know, to assemble, to put, to conform. And usually, you know, like you're talking about, to reduce the difficulty of something, you know. So, you know, man is always creating things. You know, we are always trying to make things more efficient. So, you know, we do try to make things, you know, more convenient as a way of life, as a way of doing things, as a way of constructing things. So we have to understand the context of what I'm bringing to the table. I'm not saying convenience in and of itself is good or bad. Like, what I'm saying is, once we stay in that mindset, once we stay in that program, unconscious, you know, conditioning, as far as being in that mindset, a society that is addicted to convenience, is that a society that's really going to thrive? And you know, modern man has so many gadgets, has so many toys, has so many different forms of entertainment, has you know, so much technology that a lot of ancient cultures couldn't even fathom, you know, like everything that we have. You know, like just being able to get, you know, like certain goods, pretty much instantly, you know. So society, especially in the Western world, is, you know, is considered a convenient society because we can get things pretty much at ease. So, you know, man is more lazier now. Man is more, dumber, not as intelligent. Man is more apathetic. Man is more unhealthy, you know. So we are sold this idea of convenience, you know, efficiency, but at what cost to society? And that's really the main question that I want, you know, like everyone to ask. You know, like, at what cost is, you know, like, are we being sold this lie of convenience? You know, like, what are we really losing? What are we sacrificing? What are we giving up? So, you know, from a societal standpoint, is it healthy for individuals within a given society to be addicted to what is convenient? You know, what are the effects of, you know, being brought up in a society that is addicted to, you know, convenience, this whole instant gratification, you know, her mindset, you know, leading toward laziness, and, you know, like leading more toward a kind of hedonistic, you know, like mentality, you know, like what are the psychological effects of, you know, like of that? And that was what this question was really supposed to ask. So, you know, not really, you know, hell, again, the context, not saying that convenience is good or bad. You know, we are always making things more, you know, convenient, you know, as a easier way of doing things in life. But, you know, like, we are supposed to have a little bit of difficulty, you know, like not everything in our lives is supposed to be, you know, how convenient. We do need that form of struggle, you know, like we do need that form of hardship. We do need that form of, you know, of difficulty in order for us to, you know, learn and grow and, you know, to keep searching and to dive deeper and to, you know, build discipline. You know, so that's really what I wanted this topic to cover, is what is being lost, what has been sacrificed at the expense of our, you know, of making things more efficient and more convenient. So, and one of the main examples of this that, you know, I've always talked about is, you know, like most of us remember what it was like, you know, before we had smartphones. Mm-hmm. You know, people were much smarter. People had better communication. You know, people were more intelligent. You know, people had better mapping. People were able to navigate better, you know, better communication skills. But of course, you know, once we were given, you know, this technology, smartphones didn't really make us smart. It destabilized and broke down a lot of our communication skills. It broke down and it started to erode, you know, communication with each other on a face-to-face basis. Most people's awareness and navigation skills are terrible now, you know, compared to when, you know, like before smartphones. Just seeing people navigate, like in public, you know, like in society, they're constantly looking down, you know, for centuries, man used to always look up to the heavens. Now we're looking down. People's memory is terrible now, you know, with smartphones. People can't focus. You know, so that's one of the things that I always like to bring up, you know, being addicted to convenience, because, you know, like the whole lie of smartphones was, yeah, they were convenient, but what do we sacrifice? What do we give up? You know, like what was taken from us in all of that? And was it really worth it? Like, yeah, we may have, you know, so much access to knowledge and skills and, you know, history at the access of our fingertips, but what do we give up? And are we really using that, you know, to its full potential? So I'll pass it on to Chris.
Thanks, Brandon. Yeah, it's pretty devastating. You know, I thought I'd focus in a little bit on the addiction side of it because, you know, like you said, convenience is kind of a natural thing, right? Humans are like hunting some animal with a stick and they're like, hey, if we put a heavy rock on the end of the stick, it flies faster and we can hunt it better. Like, to a point, that's a good thing, right? Whether it's convenience or technology or the combination of those things, that is a natural part of being intelligent conscious beings. But when does it take on this evil overtone? When does it start being bad, wrong? Well, for me, the addiction part of it has so much to do with materialism, our addiction to materialism. And that's what puts us in this place where we're constantly looking for a convenient, easier way to do things. And, you know, that materialism thing, something like we've talked about before, which is a belief system that puts us on bad footing, let's say, to begin with, you know, looking for a way to ease a deeper problem, you know, or to not see a deeper problem, is like a world of distractions. But going back to the word addiction, the word addiction actually, its early roots, it's almost closer to slavery, being addicted. It's like being bound. When you look at the etymology, it's Latin adicere, to surrender or to bind, which I just learned that, you know, when I was researching for this episode. So it binds us when we need something, when we've given up ourselves to something, it binds us. And in this realm, what we've really given ourselves up to is materialism in so many ways. That whole idea of being not needing things, and trying to work on being a human being that's like not bound to anything, which kind of reminds me of like maybe Zen Buddhism or the lifestyle of a monk, Tibetan monk, or maybe in India, people, you know, wander on like a spiritual quest, seems to be largely forgotten and lost in the Western world and even teased as if it's silly. You know, if you ran into someone and you said, oh, I'm on a quest for enlightenment, people would laugh at you like, what? That's stupid. You know, how are you going to get money? You know, that's just how far our Western materialistic mind is so addicted to creature comforts and feeling constantly this feeling, going after feelings. And what that is a very short-term way of looking at life. And not kind of like recognizing the big picture, how it's going to affect everyone else. And then like some of the most amazing things you can think of in history, people have done like many years of meticulous work, like translating an ancient something that's written down into another language or something like that. You know, it's something that would take a whole lifetime to do, you know, painting the whole ceiling of a cathedral or something, you know, like those type of things aren't held highly in regard in the world we're in right now. The things that take a long time and a lot of studying are kind of scoffed at and laughed at. Like, why wouldn't you just do it the easy way? And so, you know, in some ways it's like, why not? We have the technology, we have these amazing devices, why not? Well, it's because it cripples us. When we're bound, we cripple ourselves. It's like a person that broke their leg and got on crutches and just stayed on the crutches and never learned to walk again. And then their leg gets so weak, they don't even have a leg anymore. It's just this limp thing hanging there with no muscles in it. And they can't walk. And all they can do is get around with crutches. So it's like we're crippling ourselves as beings, as a humanity, by being so stuck on this materialistic way of seeing things, that now we're kind of losing the ability to get really skillful and spend a whole lifetime doing something that takes the meticulous energy of learning and suffering, you know? And even as far as our own health, we're willing to give up the responsibility of taking care of ourselves and looking for easy way for someone else to take care of our own body. And that's our most prized possession. So, you know, maybe I'll get a little more into that next time around when that comes, the mic comes back to me, but I'm going to hand it on off to Jerry.
Appreciate that, Chris. Well, you brought up some thoughts in my head that are pretty powerful, because I just think that I've lived in convenience for a while, well, at least recently. And one, it has to do with food. How, for some reason, I was stressed working and I suddenly started to kind of binge eat. And I sort of been on this path of eating more than usual, you could say. And I try to kind of justify it, but just hearing you talk, I sort of know that it's probably not healthy. And I need to make those sacrifices to become healthier. It's very easy to just put food in my mouth, chew it, swallow it. But there's also, you have to consider the digestion system and kind of giving your body a break from working all the time, right? It's kind of like those unseen consequences that they don't manifest right away. Like, although, yes, there might be that. What do you want to call it? The splinter in the mind. And sometimes we ignore the signs, and that's a problem. And then that just manifests into a whole giant, it becomes a bigger problem than it has to be. So tackling those problems right away is the way to go. And so, yeah, you really made me think that, how I need to kind of, you know, put that to rest. And right before this, I was kind of looking up some videos about this topic, and poof, it's hard-hitting stuff. Like you said, Rick, that it seems like an obvious topic, like it's an easy one, but when you really start looking into it, it's almost like shadow work. It's kind of, you're seeing how you can improve. And there's many ways to improve. And I like how Brandon talked about the effects. What are the effects, right, of convenience? Is this really helping us move towards a higher level of consciousness, or is it diminishing our consciousness? And it's not a good or evil thing. It's just, we have to be conscious of how we utilize the technology around us. Like you said, Chris, with back in the day, you have the stick, you're hunting for animals, but then you had a rock. I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but nowadays you have these factory farms, right? You just have, like, you're just slaughtering millions of animals, and it's almost like, all right, like, where's the line that shouldn't be crossed? So that's kind of like one topic that comes to mind. And yeah, I think I'll leave it there for now. So I'll pass it to you, Jim.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, well, Chris, you were talking about addiction. And my first thought was to say, my name is Jim, and I am a convenience holic. Because all my life, you know, I grew up in this system of convenience. And over like the last decade or so, I've been gaining knowledge, you know, of ways of how to be more self-sufficient and all that. But I'm not. I'm totally still really hooked to the system and a lot of the benefits that come along with it. I want to say it's kind of ironic, too, when you were talking about the smartphones, how, you know, all the intelligence it took to invent that smartphone, but is actually is making it so people are dumber. So it took all that to get to that point. So that now the phone is so smart that you can be stupid, you know. But so when it comes to food too, like you were speaking, Jerry, that's been kind of my what I've been focusing on with the permaculture and that, and trying to, you know, think about creating local systems and not being so hooked to the system. Because if what happens if the system crashes, all the people who are addicted to convenience are screwed, because we have no idea how to live without that, you know, without the convenience. So like, just say, for example, like the Amish people, if the system crashes, they'll be fine because they never were part of the system. Or people all over the world who just aren't part of, you know, I've been to Africa a lot and I've lived over there and not had electricity and hot water. And yeah, it does. It's not easy, but they're used to it. And if like, so if it's very convenient to wake up and turn on your light switch and go take a hot shower and all that. But for people who don't have it, that it's not going to affect them, you know, but people in the first world who are addicted to this convenience and used to getting everything like that, the instant gratification is another thing you guys brought up. I see it with my kids, like no one wants to be bored. Like boredom is definitely a part of life that is part of the experience of life. And the, you know, they're just trying to escape any boredom at all costs or whatever. But, and I'll just say one more thing before I pass it. When it comes to food again, how kids are so used now to being able to order food and they don't have to go out and get it. And say like you're a kid who's like shy, like I was when I was a kid, and you know, like, you know, timid, and like, so kids like that who like they're like afraid, nervous to go out maybe or something like that. They don't have to go out anymore and like face the challenges of the world. And so it's so easy for them to just to stay in. And even with Amazon, you know, get anything they want. You don't have to go out and get it anymore. And just like feel like, you know, that can't be a good thing to like, it's making people shut-ins. It could, you know, it is. And isolate, yeah. And I'm sure someone will start talking about that, how that's going to lead to the whole trans human kind of issue. But that's, you know, those are a few things. Like conveniences, it's here, man. I got 8 7-Elevens in my town. You can leave one and be at another in 3 minutes and pass one on the way. So it's like that around here. So pass it to Rick.
Ah, cool. And I can actually talk, guys, because my cat stopped banging on the door. So I got to make sure I talk quick before he comes back, because he will. But you guys make great points. And a lot of, I'm going through my notes, and I'm like, they're hitting on everything that I was kind of, so we're going to bring up. We're definitely, thinking in the same vein. And I just want to read what I wrote. I wrote a paragraph, and this was right when we brought up the topic. And it's just kind of cool how thinking about it so much over since our last meeting, our last recording, that, you know, we're really in the same vein. And what I wrote was, because I was trying to, I wanted, what my first reaction was to the topic. And I thought, and then, so what I wrote was, we all seek out convenience, are addicted to convenience. Being convenient does not necessarily make it bad. It may not even start off or intend to be good or bad when thought up, but it does come down to how it's being used, which can then start to be seen as either destructive or something that can be used to improve society or even one's life. It then becomes about intent and awareness. When we use any of these conveniences, what we call conveniences. So that's where that was where my thought first went when I thought about it, that we are, you know, are we addicted to convenience? 100%. We all are at some point. And you guys bring up great examples that with conveniences, there are prices that are going to be paid for these conveniences. And you guys brought up examples already that I was going to bring up. Jim brought up the food example, and I thought of that right away because, you know, it's so easy to go to a grocery store now or order. It's even easier now. You don't got to go to the grocery store. You can just call somebody and put an order in, and they will bring it right to your doorstep. And it's so convenient. But we've lost something in the process of this convenience of these big stores or being able to bring it to your door. We used to, you know, back in the day, you know, not too long ago, I'll throw a number, maybe 100 years ago, it was very, you had to grow your own food. And then not just grow it, you had to grow it, and then you had to find to grow enough. Then you had to find a way, or hunt, grow your food or hunt it back then. Then you had to find a way to preserve it so it would last, right? And there was a process. Like you had to know what to grow, or you didn't eat, or you would starve to death. How many people can even do that now? Grow gardens or grow enough food to survive? But this was a skill, you know, just like I said, 100 years ago, that you needed it to survive. That was, so now with these grocery stores, we've lost, I think a lot of people have lost that ability to be able to do that. So I think of the food thing, I thought of it a lot. Like it's so convenient. And then it leads to how the quality of our food, which is atrocious. And I mean, like what you go to a store, at least where I live, and you got maybe three aisles of what they call healthy food, which isn't even really that healthy. And then 20 aisles of all this processed food. So there's a price for that convenience, because even the quality of our food is going down horribly. And then that leads to all these health problems, which I can maybe talk about second round go. But it's just really interesting. I mean, I just wonder, I thought about these things, and then I'll leave with smartphones, because smartphones is a big thing of mine. I really think these things are evil, smartphones. The more I look at them, I almost had a lady while I was watching, sitting in my front yard. And the lady was on her phone walking her dog and almost smashed into the pole in my yard. Like she didn't even know where she was, just walking, and she just missed it. She was right in her phone. And I see that at restaurants. I see it everywhere. I was at a wedding reception where everybody was on their phones. It's really weird to me when you see it, and you can't unsee it, that people are just addicted to these things. And they have some conveniences. I mean, but I really, truly believe that these devices are affecting and reshaping human communication, both for good and bad. Like I think, and it's only a matter of time before these devices are in our bodies at some point. And I remember I was talking to somebody today, and I said, it's only a matter of time before they're in our bodies and we're basically like cyborgs. And they were like, I totally agree. And then they even said, they're like, that's when humanity really changes. When that happens, I think all bets are off when we're, I don't know what it would look like, but it's scary. So those are kind of my examples. And just to finish up on, cause I think, you know, there, as I said, it's reshaping human interaction, and Brandon just kind of brought it up too, or somebody just did, isolation. I think that they're isolating people, especially when I think of dating apps and stuff. I have a lot of single friends that are in the dating, so-called dating game. And they're on all of these apps, you know, swipe left, swipe right, and all of this stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, like you're cutting out such a beautiful aspect of meeting someone. Back in my day, you had to go out, or have friends, and you would go out and you would meet somebody, and if you liked them, then you would get their number and you would take them on dates. And the wooing stage is what we called it. And now it just seems that we're losing that in so many ways. And I think they can be good, but they can also be very destructive. Once again, there's a price that has to be paid for these conveniences. So those are just a couple of my examples, but I will pass it on. Derek, bring it home, buddy.
Bonjour.
Awesome.
Yeah, smart conversation, right? What is that again? Acronym? Self-monitoring, analysis, and reporting technology? Yeah, smart tech, right, okay. Now we know, in case you didn't know already. But yeah, it is convenient to have anything you want to look into at your fingertips. That is, I mean, these things are tools. We have to understand that the positive, negative aspects and degrees of these things, because there's a lot of shit that's weaponized, of course. We can wield these things against that, per se, if we're being the true mage on the stage, if you will. But, you know, if people are ignorant to, you know, a lot of the dark sorcery behind some of this tech and whatever the heck, yeah, they could be easily susceptible to these things, and they fall into these traps of, right, it's so convenient to do all these things. And, yeah, like the dystopian transhumanist timeline, if you will, seems to be, you know, it's so convenient. People, humans aren't even, are half human, it seems. They can have robots wipe their ass after they take a shit. They can go and have sex with a robot anytime they want or whatever. They can look into anything on the internet through a filtered lens within their, you know, retina, whatever the hell. And all these things. Like, what's the point? We don't even need all that stuff. It can be tapped in through the actual activated soul to whatever level. I wouldn't say whatever, but it depends on the individual and some of the conviction, will force, and a fuck ton of research and inner work behind all these things. It's not a convenient path to be on as far as awakening. It's not a fucking TikTok, Instagram, instant revelation type of thing. There are people have had flashes of these, you know, Kundalini awakenings, or, you know, spontaneous, whatever the fuck, yet, you know, that's just part of it. It's, we still go through cycles and spirals and all these things. Looking at the works of Nate Kapp, that circle dot and all that. So, yeah, I mentioned that, you know, on a psychological level, we really have to look into these things as to, you know, the addiction, the diction that's being added on to, you know, diction meaning, I guess the grammar, language, and who's programming the language, and what are we adding our sentiments towards that, I guess, if you will. Kind of just it's one way to look at it, but you know, we have these like codependent relationships with, you know, technology and whatever can convene us towards whatever. And yeah, going to the etymological thing, I mean, like convienement. The meant, you know, the state of, from, you know, mentalism, and together, going together. Vien is to, here, come on, let's go. And then con is to, yeah, together. So it's interesting. And so we have these codependent relationships with whatever that we focus on and what we're using, whatever tools and what we rely on. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, we have to understand the smartphone effect. Even, you know, take it back to the calculator. When you know, people were doing the math, you know, typing stuff, and that was good to go. They kind of lost that mental workings within, you know, problem solving on that mathematical algebraic level or whatever. Algebra? Whatever, calculus, you know, whatever. But so, you know, it's like we cannot let, you know, all the smart tech and stuff do to our brains like the calculator did to some of our inner math within ourselves, in a sense. And so, you know, I see these kids even out in France, they got, you know, the motorized fucking skateboards, you know, like, you're too young. You have too much energy. You need to burn that shit off. Go ventilate that stuff, you know, go do life shit, get that life experience, because all the tech that you're relying on can hinder that. And it could take away from the proper time and appreciation of the technology behind it that actually do something. You're able to do it manually, but you understand there's technology that can do it. If you have a relationship of being able to do it by yourself, but there's also technology that can help you. Yeah, of course. Like, especially if you're running a business and, you know, you're not going to be bending your back over backwards, which, you know, like, hey, Chris, you know, how many power tools you got, right? So that kind of shit. And so thinking about the psychology of being way too dependent and addicted to, you know, some of these things for convenience sake, it can create weak minds. It can create echo chambers and confirmation bias, especially if, you know, you haven't had said experience, you know, just, you know, working with these hands, these magical hands that we have, you know, that we can be co-creators of, you know, in the, you know, hopefully in line to the Most High of creation, if you will, being the master builder, right? So, you know, psychologically speaking, yeah, there's confusion still behind some of the convenience, because, yeah, in America, the crony capitalist stuff and the relentless onslaught of commercials and advertising, they want to sell you on anything, make your life easy as fuck, this, that, blah, 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 you know, it's never ending. And you hear other companies rivaling with others and like, oh, mine's better and this and that. And like, you know, you got all these people caught up in the middle, like, sometimes, right? And they gotta do trial by error. Yet some of these things we can easily make on our own. Shit, I've made my own deodorants. I still have my own, like, aftershave, sunscreen. And all these things are less fucking toxic than the other stuff. The title of the thing is Addicted to Convenience, but in my mind, I've had the whole time, and it's been hard to not think about it, but I'm thinking about the dangers of convenience, because we're sold on so much fucking bullshit that's sold for pennies on the dollar or whatever, and all these corporate conglomerates are making a killing off of these things, right? And it doesn't have to be even made in China, whatever. But so, yeah, a lot of people find it convenient to remain ignorant to uncomfortable and inconvenient truths or whatever, right? And, you know, fuck Al Gore and that, you know, Ponzi scheme of a carbon tax bullshit fucking fake ass, you know, climate scare, whatever the hell. You know, and that's another thing, you know. I feel like the corporations and governments are even more addicted to convenience than your average person, because they rely on this stuff as well. It's so convenient for them to, you know, put some programming out, sit back and, you know, barely do anything, and let the fucking frenzy of unconscious clusterfucks tie the Gordian knot even fucking tighter within the entanglement of the fabric of society and all this shit. You know, it's so fucking convenient, right? That's the running theme of this one, but I'm going to get into food next round. This is just an appetizer, all right? So, all right. Brandon, what's good?
Oh, man, so many things to piggyback off of. Let's see. All right, so I was kind of analyzing, you know, this topic, and hell, again, you know, the whole addiction to convenience. And, you know, like, whenever it's sold us, it's always in like this kind of seductive kind of pleasure trap, you know, like it's like the convenience, it's alluring, it's attractive, it's appealing, it's beautiful, and it's inviting, you know. So you can almost kind of say like it's almost sold in almost like this kind of feminine, you know, form, because, you know, like when it's sold to us, we don't really see the bigger picture, you know, like, we're just focused in, you know, like in the now, you know, like we don't think about the consequences. We don't think about, you know, how the future, you know, like what's going to be the effects on, you know, like the next generation, you know, like what's going to be the effects on society, on, you know, the planet, you know, like the end game goal. So it's like this kind of mock dark feminine, you know, that's put there in front of us. And it's actually, you know, it's taking advantage of the pleasure and reward internal mechanism. And if people aren't really familiar with that and how, you know, like the whole dopamine, you know, how response, you know, happens in our, you know, like kind of internal limbic animalistic system. There was one psychologist that actually got, you know, pretty big time and well known for, you know, for really molding and taking advantage of that. And it was B.F. Skinner. Because, you know, when we're talking about the dopamine system and the pleasure, you know, reward, his whole way of operant conditioning was a way to reinforce certain certain learned or programmed behaviors by way of positive reinforcements by rewarding the subject with pretty much dopamine, you know, by way of, you know, using the positive, you know, rewards, you give them something, you know, so the brain starts to associate that behavior with the actual, you know, dopamine that's being, you know, produced. And with enough time, with enough positive reinforcements, you know, is what he called it, then pretty much the being can be programmed to pretty much be addicted to, you know, to the pleasure, you know, principle, and you are associating those behaviors to that pleasure. So then, you know, given enough time, you can associate those learned program behaviors to that and pretty much, you know, control people. So that's pretty much what has been done and why his work is so, you know, like goes so deep with the whole psychological, you know, mindset. You know, because we see this all throughout, you know, how society, you know, is how, you know, we get rewarded for doing certain things and, you know, we get punished for doing certain things. You know, of course, society isn't worried about, you know, morality. No, no. It's just all about, you know, how the reward, you know, the pleasure and reward, or, you know, like the whole dopamine effect. And we see that, too, you know, like with the whole, you know, the whole, you know, like instant gratification, you know, like people addicted to freaking social media, you know, like got to have things now, you know, like the whole Amazon Prime. And we're all guilty of it. At, you know, like at some degree, you know, and I am, you know, some, you know, more than others. But another deeper question that I wanted to ask myself is, you know, like, what are some of the other, you know, convenient lies that we tell ourselves? And notice I said convenient lies we tell ourselves because, you know, we're always telling, you know, like we're always feeding our own mind bullshit, you know, like we have religious dogma, you know, so not just, you know, like things that are, you know, convenient in the physical realm, but, you know, like what about things that are convenient in the mental realm, you know, like the whole religious mindset, you know, like what are some of the convenient lies we tell our children, you know, that really fucks up their mind. You know, we are at that time of year, you know, where a lot of parents are going to be lying to their kids. You know, what are the effects of that? You know, if we love our kids, then should we be lying to them? And we say it's a convenient lie because we deem it as being convenient to us, but it's not really convenient toward them. And how can it really be convenient if it's a lie? Because is a lie ever really, you know, convenient? So these are some questions that we should be asking ourselves, you know, as individuals in a society, is what are some of the convenient lies we tell ourselves and some of the convenient lies we tell our children? Because people are addicted to those mental lies. Because a lot of people know that it's a lie, but they still, you know, will tell it because it's just a way of doing things.
That'd be an internal lies. Lies you tell internally, you've internalized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to say for hardship, going through hardship and growth. And that's kind of what I was going to touch on. Were you done with what you were going to say this time, Brandon?
Yeah, yeah. No, you can pick up.
Yeah, I was thinking about talking a little bit about hardship and growth. There's an African proverb that says, smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. You know, another one from Seneca, the gem cannot be polished without friction, nor man perfected without trials. And, you know, this, like, finding the easy way towards everything is common in all aspects of society. And, you know, I made a list, things we get addicted to due to convenience. You guys have mentioned some of these, but it was just kind of fun to, like, bullet point, like fast food, okay, quick, inexpensive meals, little to no preparation time. Driving cars, that you know, us driving cars, but we're getting to the point now with the cars drive without us needing to be driving them, you know.
That's true.
But, you know, that's short trips too that could be walked or cycled a lot of times, right? But we're taking a car or, you know, riding some machine. Laundry machines, dishwashing machines, these kind of appliances. A lot of times single people running a whole load, you know, could they wash it without it? Do they really need it? You know, dishwashing, just to avoid hand washing, streaming services, entertainment at all time, whether you're on the go, in your car, on the bus, wherever you're at, you need to have 100% ability to watch something, to be entertained anytime, anywhere, wherever you're at, without leaving home. Same with shopping. Now, avoiding physical stores, we can get clothes, groceries, any goods delivered directly to your house. I'm not saying that's all bad, you know, but smartphones and apps, we've talked about that. Instant, easy access to information. And then I've noticed before that the types of communication we're using more are truncating our ability to actually communicate. Because we're so addicted to the convenience of text messaging, because easier, you don't have to actually deal with the person so much. You could just, you know, and then you're just sending letters, you know, and combinations of letters. And it's like avoiding all the physical frustration of dealing with the human being. And the details that really need to be conveyed sometimes don't get conveyed. So it's a lazy way of communication. And a lot of times we're breaking down our communication because of this convenience. And, you know, social media, the quick dopamine hits, the Pavlovian response, microwave meals, prepackaged meals. I had to admit I stopped and bought food on the way home from a convenient thing that I don't like to do much. But I was kind of rushing today, right? It has to do with our lifestyle. There's a lot of things that play into this. Elevators and escalators. Do we even really need to avoid the trouble of walking downstairs? But we got them, you know, it's important. You know, we got all kinds of apps for places to stay, places to share rides, borrow a vehicle. You know, some of these things sound cool, but it also is, you know, it's just showing how abundant all this stuff. Voice assisted control. You can have voice assisted control from everything, from your microwave oven to your watch to your car, talking to your radio, telling it what song you want to hear next. Food delivery services, online education, subscription boxes of every type. You could have them deliver the costume you're going to wear to work tomorrow every day to your house. You know, that's like a normal thing now. Automatic payments. Electric scooters, like you talked about, electric bikes, streaming all your favorite cooking channels and workouts to your cell phone. I mean, while people having to work out, the whole reason of people having to have like subscriptions to go work out is because we're getting so lazy as a society. We're not doing enough. In our normal life, it used to be that people had to work out just to fucking clean their clothes. You know, it's like maybe instead of all these machines, if we just washed our own clothes and dishes, we wouldn't have to go pay someone to work out. We got pre-chopped vegetables in bags, so you don't have to chop them.
It's crazy.
Disposable products. You could just imagine, you know, disposable wine glasses, disposable everything, right? Disposable cigarettes. Disposable e-cigarettes. You know, disposable books, disposable everything, right? So it just goes on and on, you know.
Chris, you forgot. Chris, you forgot rechargeable batteries.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Rechargeable batteries.
I mean, this list we could keep going with it.
You could do it all day, Chris.
You know.
Oh my God.
End of heaven and hell of earth, and you're still going to have more ideas of all these things. Bruce Lee said, "Do not pray for an easy life. Pray for the strength to endure a difficult one." You know, what tough, strong person do you know that got that way from an easy life? You know, what personal attributes do you have as a human being that you earned through comfortable nights in front of the couch on Netflix? You know, all the best things in life come from hard work and some level of hardship and some level of sacrifice at that. There's nothing good that you're going to enjoy that doesn't come with some level of sacrifice, hardship, trouble. So I'm not saying that everything convenient is bad or evil, but I'm saying an addiction to always searching for the easiest, fastest, most convenient way is leading to a very corrupted society and very corrupted individuals in that society that no longer have the ability to care for their own physical being even. And that's when really we're seeing the crux of it getting to the point where, to me, it's becoming a disaster. And when, you know, the plandemic, scamdemic hit full force, and you see that people really don't understand their own body at all. They can't even feel what's going on when they're literally covering up the main exhaust breathing holes and not recognizing that it's causing a problem, you know? I mean, I've been wearing dust masks for years, and I'm well aware of how frustrating it is to not get all your oxygen you need when you're in a dust cloud, you know, and you're still getting dust in your face. You know, it's just a, you know, go back to 9/11, you know, watching those buildings fall is pretty obvious to me that that's not how physical reality works. But I've spent a lot of time playing with things and had my hands on physical things, and I've broken a lot of things and watched things break. And so I know what it looks like when things explode and when things break, because I've done these things quite a bit. You know, I've played around with blowing things up and breaking things. And so maybe people have enough experience, actual in the real world, doing things to be able to see when they're deceived by something that's ridiculous, that should be obvious, you know, from my point of view. And so I think doing labor, pushing your body in terms of temperature wise, being a little too hot, a little too cold, these things are good for us. They make us stronger and they build will and endurance, and they help us survive those things the next day. Every time we cradle ourselves or hide from adversity, that we weaken ourselves so that we can't handle it when it shows up. So all those things I listed are all ways that humans have weakened ourselves and are continuing to basically walk into a trap. The boiling crabs are boiled by turning the heat up little by little. You put them in the lukewarm water, and then little by little you turn up the heat. And so people don't understand that heat's been getting turned up for a few generations now, and we're getting to the point where we're in some real trouble. And so this is a call to all of humanity that, you know, do some Wim Hof breathing, man. Feel some cold water on your body. Feel what it feels like to be uncomfortable is a good thing, because your body's a healing machine and it wants to repair. And when you feel how that works and you go through that process as much as possible with your own facilities, then you get a pride from that and you feel good about it. And even if you do have a scar, like Jerry's on his head from his battle with the countertop, you know, you walk away proud that you did that and that was you. And that scar defines you as being a tough guy, you know? So take on life and feel the scars and burns of it, and let that make your life experience even more rich instead of the opposite, poor, right?
That's a great point.
I'll pass it on.
That's a great point, Chris. And I'm just thinking about what you're talking about, because you were the one who got me thinking or got me doing cold therapy. Remember when I first, when you taught me all, you were basically, I heard about it from you basically, where you do like extreme cold therapy, and it changed my life. It really did. It just makes me think about what you're saying, that, you know, growth takes struggle to some degree, in my opinion. Like, it needs, like, friction. Like, you need that. I just think of anything I've done that's really valuable to me, there's some type of struggle or something you have to overcome that makes it so valuable. And I think you're making great points. I always think of forging and fire when I get down on myself. Like, you know, you have to kind of forge yourself, and there is struggle involved. And I'm with you guys. Conveniences are great. We're all hooked on them. Like Brandon was saying, these dopamine hits and that. But, I mean, they've done their job well. And so you guys bring up really good points, man. Like, the one thing I am glad that was brought up was the isolation aspect. That's one thing I didn't have on my list. I didn't think of it that way. And I think Brandon brought that up. And I think that is such a big one, because it got me thinking as soon as it was said, like, and it kind of builds on what we were saying, is now from your house, you can order food. You can do your job in most cases. And then you have dating. And then you can do all your shopping, basically. So you basically never need to leave your house. Like, you could basically never leave your house if you wanted to really commit to this. And there's a price, though. You're missing what I keep talking about, is this true human connection, like, and how to act even when you're out in society. I mean, like, you learn these skills by being around people. We're meant to be around people, interacting with people. And we're losing that. And it gives me, and I think of the example in my town, I'm not sure if it's like this for other people, but they're building new apartment buildings, these great big apartment buildings. And on the bottom few floors, they have stores. So they'll have like a barber shop, they'll have, or a hair salon, they'll have like a somewhat of a grocery store, they'll have a bank, they'll have everything you need to keep you in that building. And I just, it's convenient. You don't got to go anywhere. You don't even have to have a vehicle. You just go down, take the stairs, or like Chris was saying, or the elevator or whatever, and you got everything right there. So it's convenient. But what price are we? We're paying a price for this, for these conveniences, and you have to be aware of it. And then it comes back to what I was kind of saying earlier. It's intent. Like, when you become aware of it, then how do you use it? Like, when I think of social media, I'm like, am I taking in good quality information and trying to learn? I try to learn something new every day. It's kind of a goal of mine. It doesn't have to be a huge thing, but I want to learn something new that I didn't know. And to me, that's kind of growth. That's growth for me. Or are people using their social media to get in online arguments or gossip or YouTube shorts and TikTok videos that are pointless? Like, it becomes where your intent and focus when you become aware of it. So it's just a great topic. And like you guys were saying, it, Bray, the more you dive into it, it becomes so big. And Chris made a big list there of all of these things that there's consequences. And we could have kept going with this list. That's when I found it really quickly talking to people. And everybody I talked to agreed that they're addicted to it. There was nobody that said, no, we're not addicted to convenience. Everybody was like, 100%, I love convenience. But some of them actually were kind of like what we're talking about. They're like, but we're paying a price for it. So I think people are aware of it. Now, whether or not, and this kind of builds on what Jerry's point was, can we begin to break away from some of these now that you're aware of them? Like, can we start maybe not being so reliant on them and kind of find a healthy balance? And that's what I'll leave with. That's what I got for you guys. So whoever wants to take it from there and build off of.
I could take it because you mentioned my name. So, yeah, I mean, breaking away from the convenience, you can do it. If you can do it once, you can do it many, 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 many times over. And it's just having that awareness, that will, that fire, that ignition, that focus, the drive, all that. And it's just, you guys all made great points, you know. I'm going to beat a dead horse. But there's one thing that really, really stood out for me, which was how with all of these conveniences that there is one solution. And what is that? Yes, objective morality under natural law. It really comes, it boils down to that. There's no other answer to that than that. Because The problem is with morality. Like, humans, we will survive. But if we're in a master-slave relationship, it's not even, it's all bullshit. We need to break away from this convenience of a master-slave relationship. It's very convenient for both of them. And another thing that I thought of was watching a TikTok video of someone, yeah, saying, oh, well, you know, Trump won. I can still vote. I can still do this and that. And we, man, they got us good. They got us good. Hooked on convenience. I'm a convenience junkie. I'm going to put that out there right now because I will work on no longer being that. So I'll pass it to you, Jim.
Great point, Jerry.
Yeah, man. Yeah, when it comes to morality, there's one thing that occurs to me that it's only been around for about 100 years. I mean, as far as it's been here on Earth forever, but we only tapped into it 100 years ago, and that's electricity. And that's the thing that, and also the fossil fuel, all these kind of energy sources that have been led to all the conveniences, you know, all these, life wasn't so easy until there was electricity. All those kind of things that you had rattled off before, Chris, required some electricity or fossil fuel. And even my electricity comes from burning fuel. But that system is, you know, controlled by the government. And we're so, and corporations, you know, it's all, we're so tied into that. And we're not using our intelligence correctly. We're not using, being moral with this energy. And, you know, if that can be a solution, it's like, when we start to use our intelligence to be moral with this great opportunity that we have to have these conveniences, but we're using it all in like this greedy money, you know, materialistic way. So, yeah, it's convenient to get like a bag of chips, but if you think about it, what did it take for it to get there? You know, someone had to like grow this monoculture of corn and burn all this fuel to grow it and spray it with pesticides. And it's a non-GMO food. And then it's got to get harvested using these huge tractors, fuel, and then put on a truck and then made into a Dorito. And then like put in, like go to the plant, like the factory, and then get into another truck and drive all the way across the country to get to your store that you got to drive to get, you know. So when it comes down to it, it's very convenient for you to go get it, but it took a lot of energy for it to get there, and it's not even good for you. So, yeah, we can live long enough off of this really shitty food to reproduce in that, but it's not a healthy thing. But yeah, that was just the point I wanted to make was, you know, if we can change our way of thinking and, you know, use this source of energy in a more powerful way, in a beautiful way, and get out of this, you know, evil materialistic greed. So, all right, Derek, you're up.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, great points, everyone. I appreciate that. This is a really interesting topic. And yeah, I'm loving your enthusiasm, Rick. It's great. And yeah, there's a lot of convenience to control on all these things. And yeah, is it more convenient for corporations to, you know, just make, you know, some synthetic food or pharmaceutical companies to make, you know, a synthetic version of what nature already produces because it's in a controlled lab and yada yada. Maybe the, what do you call it? The prima materia, you know, the raw materials aren't, you know, are less expensive in a lab than, you know, having to go through the rhythm of life and respect the cycles of nature and how, you know, the process of, you know, whatever photosynthesis, whatever plant and animal and all that jazz, you know what I mean? But it's more convenient to pump up, you know, steroids to, you know, factory farm animals to, you know, get them all juicy to sell more meat by the pound and whatever that was going down with all this stuff. So, you know, you can tie this into so much stuff. And Jerry, you hit the head on the nail of what it really boils down to of, are these things moral? Are people using things to their convenience morally or not? Is it helping them evolve or devolve? Are they using it moderately or not? So, you know, there's a lot of things to consider, and you can take that to the Hermetica on the whole scale. Yeah, but, you know, what I was just referring to, like the law of polarity, what degree are you on? What side of the pendulum or swing of your usage of things is it on? Right. So, we cannot. It's like one of my favorite quotes in hip hop history is by one of my favorite lyricists, Azeem. He asks a simple question with, you know, that cool conviction. Are you playing music or is music playing you? You know, that kind of shit. And you could just take that to, are you using things for the benefit of you and others? Or are you using it to a point where it's actually using you? Like your ab using it, you're having an abnormal usage of it. So it's just, there's something out of whack there, right? So, you know, it's all about that balance, right? And you could take that to Mayats and all that shit, right? So I mentioned the whole food thing, and for me, yeah, Jerry, that spark of things. And sometimes we need to light a fire up our asses and alchemize that properly to wield that energy towards something positive of, you know, getting through things that we're struggling with, or, you know, revelations of things like, oh, so you found out that you know, GMOs are all up in the place, or, you know, whatever ingredients of processed foods and the whole fucking nine of the crap food that's out there. What do we do about it? Can you make your own stuff? I mean, just, so here's an example, and I liked what, because we have to break a lot of conditioning. This is part of the deprogramming and steps towards being a more sovereign individual and being able to, you know, it's like the art of the craft, kind of like what we did, but like the art of life, the art of, you know, creating food and like meals and all that stuff. We got conditioned out of, you know, taking the proper time and care and attention to these things that really develops proper life skills. And, you know, what were the ancient, older traditions? We relied on the grandmothers, you know, the grandmothers got all the great recipes, right? You know, think about, you know, like the, you know, it's stereotypical a little bit, but, you know, like the nonas and the Italian grandmothers, you know, they got all the tricks and all the recipes in here, you know, because they've just done it, and they can create pasta from scratch. You can make pizza from scratch. You don't have to go buy a box of, you know, flour mixed in with whatever, when you can just buy a thing of powder and some yeast. You put it in a fucking thing, measured up, and you mix some water in it, and you make some balls in it, and voila, it's really not that fucking hard. It really is not that hard. And I'll tell you, like, that's one of the, you know, most low-cost, effective restaurant items to have served in that kind of business industry, because I fucking worked in one, in a couple, and spoke with, you know, patrons and all this stuff. Yet, you know, there's all these pizzerias out there, but people can do it themselves at their home and, you know, create something just as delicious. You know, it's really not that hard. Oh, you need some tomato sauce? Get a fucking can of tomato thing, you know, and put some salt and pepper in. Sometimes that's all it fucking takes. You know, like back in Italy, these were simple, minimal ingredients in this. Voila. Buono appetito, amigo. But, let's go back into history in regards to like post-World War, because, you know, there was a lot of changes of things, and there was a shift in the dynamic of the traditional housewife, if you will, and mothers and all these things, who would be at the helm and have like the utmost response, you know, importance in the household. And they were the ones that really made a house a home, with that, you know, that generative principle. Not to say the male didn't have any part in it, but, you know, like, she's there while the man was doing the work and this and that. Back in the good old days when you could, you know, buy a house off of a single salary within the household, right? But anyways, you know, post-World War, there are more women in the workforce and all these things. And so there were some interesting business models being placated towards this. And you got to tie it in with a lot of the Bernaysian propaganda and things of that nature, and a lot of R&D behind it all, research and development. They hired psychologists to study these things, like straight the fuck up. You know, they're studying human psychology to see what, you know, not way even beyond Pavlovian stuff, right? So one of the things that, you know, like, to, you know, and there was integrity, there's dignity. People wanted to say, like, you know, I made this food from scratch and this and that. And when all this pre stuff came in, they had to convince especially women that no, it was actually you making this, but, or maybe it's just, hey, you work so hard, you need a day off, and you could just, you know, put this, you know, pre-made stuff in the oven before microwaves, right? And there you go. And they just flipped the script on the wording and the, you know, the all these things, the marketing. So yeah, it's just it's interesting how the degrees of conditioning, you know, lead up to that boiling point, from that frog in the lukewarm water or cold water even, and then there you go. And it's like, we don't even know we're frogs in the water, right? Which makes it, I mean, this is why the dark occultists have made it so convenient for them to control us, right? So there's a lot of things to consider, and there's a lot of things to consider in regards to how we're allowing, you know, this sacrifice of convenience that could be compromising, circumcising, when we're not realizing what we are sacrificing, you know? And yeah, we like to save time, we like to save money and all this stuff, but we should really, you know, value health over some of these things, right? When it's convenient, maybe, for some, but obviously playing on words with that. But yeah, it's like, it's the modernity of things, you know, the modern times, with all the tech and whatever the heck is, Chris kind of, you know, went off on that list, right? And so, yeah, we got the fast food, we got the fast girls, we got the fast money, we got the fast life, and we got the fast info nets. But that doesn't really produce a super conscious human being. You have to take it back to the slow food. You know, take your time with these things. Take your time with the information you're ingesting and digest really slow, meaning you are going through the trivium process and you're using proper discernment and the whole nine, right? So, and it's one thing to find love on the internet and this and that, but, and that could work out for some, but take the proper time to, you know, actually know one, know these people, whatever. And like, do you actually love yourself before you can go out and love another person? Because you ain't got that to give if you ain't got it yourself, right?
Good point.
Word up to Levolution. But I could be rambling on all this stuff, but yeah, with the whole food thing, you know, there's the whole Betty Crocker thing, just add an egg and, you know, you're the cook up in the mix, right? Because people didn't want to relinquish that kind of agency within the kitchen, because it was a very high position and it brought about a lot of nutrition, and that just went declined with all this processed bullshit, right? And then we got the microwave to nuke your food even more. So what the fuck with the TV dinners and all this shit, you know? There's a fuck ton of research behind those alone, you know? And it's just for the convenience of us to do what exactly, you know? Get back on the hamster wheel or be another cog in the machine. So, you know, eventually both men and women can be equal in the workforce and leave the household behind for the latchkey kids. And now we're at where now? Right? So, yeah. Bon appetit and bon voyage, I suppose. But yeah, we're evoking things. We're not just like talking shit because there are things that we're bringing to the table of solutions. I don't know if we got another round. We're already like an hour in, but I'm not going to say any more after this. But I just want to bring some solutions that y'all were alluding to as well. It's like we have to, you know, challenge ourselves. You know, we have to put the axe to the grindstone, if you will. Refine ourselves, our skills, our communication, even during Mercury retrograde, which is happening, you know, just popped off right now. Yeah. What's up? Safe travels for their turkey time and wherever you're going for the holidays. But anyways, you know, on my behalf, I know, Brandon, you ride your bike quite a bit, but you know, out in France, I mean, like by default, I'm not able to have a car, but it's just, I've been conditioned to not have a car and rely on my legs every step of the way. Or take the transit, which is, yeah, it is, you know, more efficient than a lot of places in the States. But it's just, you know, being out there, like I ride my bike on a daily basis, a couple of kilometers or miles a day just to get from point A to point B, just to go fucking grocery shopping. I don't have a car. I can only put like so many items in my backpack. So I have to do even more, you know, runs throughout the week. But I don't mind because I like the benefits from that, getting the fresh air, seeing more people, you know, you're flying by in a car, you don't get to see things, you know, slower, I guess. And you get to see people more, this and that, and exercise and all these things. So yeah. And, yeah, that's, you know, I guess, you know, like all these comfort zones can breed complacency and laziness and all these things, which are not beneficial. And it, you know, these habits can turn into, you know, phases. These phases can turn into more of a lifestyle, and the lifestyle can just become one's fate in a sense. So just be mindful of these things. And yeah, I love what technology brings, but we, yeah, use it to the positive side of where we should be in life. That's all.
On closing remarks, but before I do that, Chris brought up the escalators, and there, you remember we was in Vegas, and you know we kept walking around, and you know, help me, you go to Vegas, man, you got so many steps, but you know how they got the freaking steps cut in the middle that we always took, that you had the escalators on the side that everyone else would always take, and me and Derek would always man up and just take the steps. You know, it's like, dude, it's like people be fucking lazy when it comes to steps. I'm like, dude, just hit the steps, man. It's a good work.
I still do steps, Brandon. I still will not take an elevator in my condition. Yeah. I will walk my ass up and down those stairs. Absolutely.
It's good discipline. Like, yeah. It's good discipline, man. And, you know, it's just something about, you know, like, hell, when I can get a good discipline in, or, you know, like some good exercise in, it's like, just take it. Like, it's not that hard, but yeah, building a good discipline is something that we all need to practice. You know, like whatever your discipline is something, you know, that we all should, you know, have practice. You know, we all should be disciplined, and that's a good way, you know, that we can, you know, help cut back on, you know, these addictions to convenience, and of course, any addiction at all. So yeah, find you a good discipline, and you know, hone on it. A good discipline, a good craft, or something, you know, hell, that you can work at. So, hell, I'll pass it on to whoever else wants to close.
It was attributed to Albert Einstein, "Adversity introduces a man to himself." The hard work is the work of facing the truth. And so, you know, the action step is like painful self-analysis and self-awareness, confronting the hidden truths in each of our own life. right? And I think one thing to be careful with on that is the nature of addiction is it wants to feed itself. And so one of the ways it does that is it makes us feel guilty or at odds with ourselves, which creates an argument, which then justifies going back to the addiction. So, you know, be honest with yourself, but also accept yourself as you are. You know, we are what we are, right? If we're going to make changes, they're going to have to be gradual and step by step. And I think, you know, that was Brandon was talking about with self-discipline. All the best things, changes I've made in life have been little by little, getting up and doing a little bit of exercise, right? Taking a few extra steps, maybe park your car a little further away from the convenience store. So you get in those extra few steps, you know, just do what you can. Create space for uncomfortable but transformative experiences. You'll feel that inner call sometimes that says, call this person, go talk to this person. Maybe I should try to send a message and speak up on this show. Do those things. Put yourself in those situations and you'll discover a realignment with natural laws and purpose. They come together. Self-reflection, you know, and the biggest, hardest one, you know, the inconvenient is often where the beauty lies. That's a quote by Benjamin Arthur. The actionable thing that we really need to be doing is collaborating and with other human beings and working on community focused efforts. The only way we're going to get there is by being a strong person that can deal with other human beings without getting your feathers, you know, ruffled so easily and being so damn sensitive that you can't even work with other people because people are problematic and we all have a lot of issues. But that's the main wall that's holding us back from productive steps forward, whether it's growing food, providing resources like shelter. All these things get easier when we work together in some sort of collaborative group. By yourself, it's extremely difficult to completely change any of these things that we're dependent on in terms of our convenient, because we've been doing it for years and years and there's a lot of lead up. So I'm just telling people gradual change, little daily habits that can be changed, and then working together with other people is going to be the ultimate solution if we want to make bigger change on these types of problems. So what we achieve inwardly will change our outer reality. That's Plutarch. So that's my last quote and my last big wise statement I'll share with you folks for tonight. I encourage you to feel the cold water and feel the hot sun on your face and get outdoors, go for a walk, do some push-ups, feel what it feels like to breathe hard and sweat from all your pores. And that's what being alive is. So,
absolutely.
Anyone else have any closing thoughts?
I don't have a thought. I mean, not really a thought, but I do have I would like to leave people with a question, which would be, what or who might be suffering to give us some of these conveniences, and what are we sacrificing to have them? So that's just what I'll leave with, just a question to ask yourself.
All right.
I want to say something too, because that was a great question, Rick. I suppose I'll just end this with, do your push-ups correctly.
I'll just say, this was convenient, making this hour talk that we're doing. So, you know, it is possible to use this convenience and like what we're trying to do to the best of our ability and educate people and spread out the good message of morality. So it's never been more convenient than ever to get yourself seen and heard. So that's that. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Jerry, Rick, Derek, Brandon. Much appreciated for making your habit showing up every Tuesday night to work on this stuff, the One Great Work Warriors, to show people how it's done. And that's a perfect example. You know, you show up and meet somebody once a week, pretty soon you're doing the great work every week, and it's your habit. And it's easy. It becomes convenient. So you could do it too, folks. All right, we'll see you next time. Evil destruction of freedom. And much love.